Guys, welcome to episode 141 of Inside the Cage. Scott and Mark with you, as always. How are you, buddy?
Fucking amazing, mate. How are you?
Still buzzing from Saturday.
There's even sarcasm in my voice. It should absolutely... Oh.
Still buzzing, mate. I'm still knackered. Like, I still feel I haven't slept anywhere near enough. I'm still absolutely just... The hangover is real. The fear is real.
Yeah, it's a pretty hangover all day, every fucking day of the week, by the way, because I'm feeling it today again. I think I had about 8 or 9 hours sleep last night, but I'm still fucking feeling rough today.
Yeah, I couldn't even get out last night. It was weird, mate. I was knackered. Came in, I had up dinner. Because the time I got in, because I had to stop for fuel and all that, and then to get in, and it was just brutal. And then we got dinner and put a film on and watched about half of it, and then went to bed, and I was just like lying wide awake. I was like, are you kidding me, man? Like, no, just go to sleep, please.
To be fair, it took me ages. I was sitting there on the couch last night, and it was about back 8, and I'm like, I'm not going to bed quite yet. I know that for a fact. Fuck it. I'm going to stick the main card back on. Sat and put the main card on. I knew there was obviously quite a few finishes, so I kind of fast-forwarded through bits and pieces here and there, and I just kind of hung out and watched all the finishes, and it just got me even more buzzing. And I'm sitting in bed at like 10 o'clock just thinking about the whole thing, just going, fucking hell, what a weekend. What an absolute weekend from start to finish, to be honest, mate. It was just unbelievable.
The whole weekend was brilliant, mate. Right, honestly, the whole weekend, not even just UFC. Obviously, UFC was top-notch, but it was just a great weekend all over.
Travelling on the Friday, a few beers on training, all that. It was just out for the... Out of the ice the Friday night, and got a wee bit off cut on the Friday night as well, I would say. And, aye, mate, it was fucking magic.
That's it, mate. That's it. Right, so guys, what we'll do is we'll probably just follow the usual format. We'll have a look back at London, maybe a wee bit longer than what it normally would be. And then we'll look ahead to the weekend, Dawkins versus Blades, and any news and fight announcements Mark has at the end. So, let's do it. Let's jump right into it. Two-footed challenge above the knee, UFC London review. I don't really know what to say, to be honest.
It was one of the most incredible nights, I think, ever in the history of combat sports. Now, I mean, fucking just the UFC, and it was just incredible. Absolutely incredible from start to finish. Within the performances were unbelievable, the crowd was fucking unbelievable, just everything about it was just unbelievable. It was just sensational, mate. It was just, oh.
It was unreal. It was absolutely unreal. I mean, by far the best event we've been to.
Easily. It's not even a competition. There's nothing that comes even close to it, mate. It was honestly just...
To be fair, like, I was thinking about it, like, yesterday, or last night, whatever, the day, whenever it was, fuck, I don't know. And I was thinking, like, with progressively got better for us, like, naturally, like, I'm not just saying, oh, because it was the best one, like, naturally, I would have said, obviously, Glasgow was our first one, it was the best, because it was the only one, and then I would have said London was better than Glasgow the first time, and then Copenhagen, I would have said, was better than London, because Copenhagen was just a class weekend, and it was a brilliant card, and Cannoneer, and Dalby at home, the noise they made for Dalby and all that, amazing. But then London just blew the shit right off it, man. It was just, it was nuts.
Mate, it was absolutely mental. The noise it was getting made, the way the crowd were reacting to everything, and it was fucking unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Looking back now, thinking now, going, I was there on that night, I think it's one of these, definitely 100% one of these nights in a few years' time, you look back and go, fuck, I was there. I was actually in the arena that year, that night.
It had everything, mate. It had everything. It had close decisions. It had insane knockouts, normal knockouts, insane submissions, good, like, decision wins, you know, like, one-sided decision wins. I think it literally had one of everything on this this card. Yeah, man, just...
Mate, incredible. I'm actually struggling for words to describe how good it was, man, and it's just... So unbelievable, mate. It was so fucking good. It was just, I think we'll struggle to experience an event like that again, unless we end up somehow at the pay-per-view that they bring to the UK eventually. I think that's probably the next time that we'll even be able to come close to how good that event was on Saturday night. After waiting 3 years to get the UFC back to the UK, and it was just, the show was just fucking amazing, mate, and the crowd was half of that as well. You can't obviously And I understand how good that crowd was. I think sometimes, even I was watching the footage back last night, you don't really get the effect of the crowd that well when you're watching a video. If you watch it on the TV, unless obviously when it pans out and it does its big panorama, but we're literally just watching the fights, you don't get the effect of the crowd. But they're in the arena during the fights. The crowd were fucking amazing, man. The atmosphere that was going on was, it was almost like a football match at times.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, felt like it was like a massive football match. I'm not saying it was like Hampden or anything like that, but it was that, still had that kind of vibe to it. And it was just, incredible, man, incredible.
I think a lot of it, I think the fact that it was so busy for the prelims as well, like for the first fight, was testament to the fans that it's been so long since it's been here. And I think the fans just turned out and force, man, it was amazing, honestly amazing.
We used to get as it was, also we get down about 4:45, something like that, wasn't it? The doors went to 4:30, so we get down about 4:45.
It was about, I think we got off the train about 4:45. I think we were in the arena we checked our seats out, I think about 5:00, I think.
The queues were fucking unbelievable to get in the arena at that time, like. I know, obviously, Mokaev was on early doors, Jack Shaw, stuff like that, and obviously people wanted to get in to see them as well, but even then, I don't think I've ever been in an arena that's been so busy so early on. It was unbelievable how busy it was.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. Well, let's start with the main event. Tom Aspinall versus Alexander Volkov. Discuss.
Mate, I think what was so good about it was how easy it looked. How much better he looked than Volkov. Just looks like a better fighter. Volkov just looked like a better fighter than Alexander Volkov. Obviously he is. But it was just sensational, mate. Every single aspect of it was just fucking brilliant. Like, he's just a fucking... Oh, what a man. What a fighter. Just fucking... Can't wait to see him hold that belt above his head and just fucking goes, I'm a fucking champion of the world, because I think it will happen. It has to happen for me.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, it was insane, man. It was like, we said it last week, you know, path to victory and all that stuff, and, you know, like, the way for him to win, this was one of them. It was either going to be speed, like a bit like Gann, or it was going to be wrestle fucking Volkov, and he didn't even wrestle him, took him down and choked and fucking nearly snapped his arm. Volkov had nothing, mate. Volkov had nothing.
He didn't have an answer to him, mate. He didn't know how to deal with it. He's too flat-footed for his speed and his in-and-out boxing range. When you've seen the way his head movement was at times when Volkov even tried to hit him and he get fucking nowhere near him. You've seen that with the first takedown. He tried to throw a right and he just fucking ducked underneath it. Boom, grabbed his legs and just fucking on your back, son. That's you. Done.
Game's a ball game.
He obviously was looking for that. He looked for Kimura as first in the first takedown as well. He kind of maybe realised his position wasn't the best and kind of just basically went like, right, let's go up, let's stand up and we'll just fucking... I think he kind of let Volkov get up at that point. I think he just kind of, right, well, let's stand up and we'll just fucking kind of go on with it.
Yeah.
Then he went for the second takedown after that and just fucking... The guy is just fucking incredible, mate. Like, the boxing, the kickboxing, the jiu-jitsu, the wrestling... I know obviously he's not fought for a title yet, but I can't think of a better all-round mixed martial artist than fucking Tom Aspinall, to be honest.
Yeah. One of the surprising things for me was the size. Like, I didn't think the size came into it at all. Like, it wasn't even really that noticeable, I didn't think, which I was shocked at. I know maybe it wouldn't have been if you just think Volkov's about 8 foot tall, but he's maybe only what, 6'8", 6'9", or something. I don't know.
6'7", and Tom's 6'5", so there's a couple inches in it.
Yeah, but it's nothing really. You just think Volkov's huge because he's fighting guys like Derek Lewis or maybe 6'1", 6'2". But when Tom Aspinall's 6'5", he's a monster, mate. Like an absolute monster. This was just amazing. Tom Aspinall, take a bow, son. Honestly, it's coming. It's coming his way, mate. The title's coming. The chance is coming his way, 100%. Same height as Gann. I would have said he probably was a wee bit bigger than Gann. I can't wait.
Obviously called it Tai Tuivasa after the fight. I think he just did that for Look, Ty's sitting there third in the world at this moment in time. Ty's the third. Ty Tuivasa is the third best ranked heavyweight on the face of the earth, apparently.
Yeah.
And obviously, Tom beat Volkov. Volkov was sitting sixth. Detlef's sitting fifth, but he was beaten by Ty. So I'd imagine even maybe Tom will go in there at fifth ahead of Lewis as well. I think they'll push him maybe up that one extra position as well, because obviously Derek lost his last fight against Ty. So that would put him fifth in the world. If he wants to fight Ty, that puts him third.
Yep.
He's moving up, mate. I don't think by the end of this year he'll get a title shot, but I think definitely starting next year, middle of next year, I think he'll be in that title fight, and it'll be incredible to see, mate. Mind you, the way it's looking, obviously Big Ngannou's still just did his knee surgery. I think just middle of last week he did his knee surgery. Looks like possibly he could be out for up to 9 months. I think obviously with Dana was talking that they probably will put an interim title fight on at some point this year because how long Francis is out. So you could possibly be looking at fighting for an interim title belt by the end of this year. I think there's a few things to get ironed out within this division, but it's exciting, man. It's an exciting division now, and Tom's one of the fucking leaders in that kind of camp. He's that kind of leader to the kind of younger guys as such. I know obviously but Cyril's fucking right ahead of him and stuff like that, and obviously Ty's, they're the kind of two younger guys who are ahead of him in the rankings at the moment in time. But for me, Tom Aspinall was looking like the fucking best of the lot, without doubt.
Without doubt, mate.
Every facet of his game, man, it's just fucking brilliant. Even the way he kind of spoke after the fight as well was pretty good. Do you know what I mean? I even liked the way he spoke and stuff like that, but it was just, I can't put any words how good a performance that actually was from him.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think it couldn't really have went any better. I think it was last week on the preview show I did with Lewis and Matt. I said I'd be surprised if this finished in the first round. Obviously, I hate the words quite significantly.
It was almost too easy for him, to be honest. It was almost too easy. He was that good, it was almost too easy. I think he even put himself, it was a perfect performance. I don't think he could have put a better performance on. And to do that in front of his home crowd, his first headline in a main event, first fight in front of a crowd in the UFC.
Yeah.
He looked as cool as a cucumber when he walked out for the change, the locker room as well, man. He just looked absolutely chilled. It was just like, right, I'm here to do a job, I'm here to do my business and just get out of there. And it was just, honestly, it was just fucking incredible, man. What a brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I'm actually lost for words on Tom Aspinall, if I'm honest, man. I really am.
I can tell. I kind of shut you the fuck up.
Mate, I can't help it. I just think he's fucking sensational. I love him. I absolutely fucking love the man. There's my man crush, I think, to be honest.
Right, listen, before we go any further, right, we could talk about everything on this card, and we could probably talk for 10, 15 minutes on everybody. We don't have the time, so we need to pick and choose here. What do you think? I presume you want to talk about all the main card because it was all class, but then what about the Brits on the prelims and all that? Look, there's so much here to talk about. What do we sacrifice?
I don't think we can, mate. I think there's not much. Gunny's maybe the only one that I'm not really that fussed on. I think as good as Gunny was, it wasn't exactly outstanding.
Okay. Well, let's just go, mate. Let's just keep it short with people then if we can as best, right?
Okay. Let's try our best.
Right, Arnold Allen. Again, no words. Like, you're fighting a guy in Dan Hooker who's like extremely game, extremely technical, and always been a good striker, Dan, heart of a lion. And after about 10 seconds, Dan was covering up. You know, and then it happened again, and then it happened again, and then eventually it stopped. Arnold Allen technically was absolutely outstanding on Saturday.
He was, mate. And I don't think we were in the arena on Saturday night. I don't think I gave the finish the credit that it probably deserved at the time.
Considering we'd seen Topuria and McCann take somebody's head off, literally, like literally taking people's heads off. I think Arnold Allen getting a standing KO or TKO, sorry, maybe it wasn't as spectacular, but when you watch it back and I seen it this morning after you messaged me and said, I was like, it was brutal.
Mate, it was unbelievable. The technical aspect involved in that knockout was absolutely superb. And it was right for the start against Dan Hooker. He just fucking went out there and just fucking leathered him. I know Dan maybe fired back a couple of shots, maybe caught Allen a couple of times, but I don't know if... I think maybe Hooker was a wee bit shocked with the way Allen did come out and just fucking flurried him with fucking punch after punch after punch. And obviously, Dan making that cut from 155 to 145, maybe his chin was a wee bit lighter than... Is it 155? Man, that's the guy who's went a distance with Dustin Poirier, do you know what I mean? That shows you how much a fucking punch you can take. Maybe getting down to 145 wasn't the best thing for Dan Hooker. Obviously, we know Allen's got this extraordinary power that's obviously inbred in his full family that's just fucking incredible. But he's not probably showed that enough in the UFC. I don't think he's got quite enough knockouts. He's got quite a lot of finishes. He's got quite a lot of decisions and stuff like that in the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think, in fact, that might even be his first knockout. That's his first knockout in the UFC. He's had previous knockouts before, but that is his first knockout in the UFC. So he needs to do that more often, because when you've got that power and that technical ability to do that, fucking shows it more, because that was fucking sensational.
Yeah.
The way he was just pounding the body to get Hooker to drop his hands at times as well, he literally was throwing 5, 6, 7, 8 punches to the body to get Hooker to draw his hands so he could then go bang, 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 bang to the head. Yeah. It was just, as I said, I watched it last night again over because I just had to. I didn't give the knockout the credit it deserved on Saturday night, and it was just fucking unbelievable. It really was so, so good, man. The technical aspect of it was just brilliant, honestly. Absolutely superb.
It was like, when I watched it back this morning, it was almost like a punching bag, because Dan Hooker obviously wasn't coming back, wasn't defending much. It was just literally like, the way, you know, like, think about the way he was punching, it was like down, low, up, high, you know, body, head, whatever. And it was just like, he was literally punching a bag, mate. It was nuts. Very good performance by Arnold Allen. And as you say, I know the UFC and fans are all big on this. You have to have a spectacular knockout and all that stuff. So I get it. Not how I would see it. I wouldn't win, but I think this is a good statement for him. I think it was a big statement. Dan Hooker is a baller, mate. You know, he's a proper like brawler, like just hard as fuck to put away. And I'm still absolutely, I mean, Dan Hooker has only lost 3 times by, you know, knockout and 12 losses. That's fucking crazy. He's a hard guy.
It's absolutely unbelievable. It was also the last knockout that there was a punch to the body. It wasn't even fucking the way it went. Do you know what I mean? It was a proper KO that time. He lost to Barboza.
He had a TKO to Chandler as well last year, but
Barboza won.
But I mean, that other than that, the last time he was TKO'd was before Barboza, was 2013. You know, when he fought in AFC. So putting Hooker away is a statement by Big Arnie Allen, mate. Absolutely, for sure. Massive performance by the boy. He's got a better win streak in the UFC than Volk does. It's just... I can't, mate. He needs to be up there. He needs to be up there, like, people talking about him fighting for the belt. It's as simple as that.
Well, obviously... He called out Cater after the fight. I think that's probably not a bad shout. I think if you look at the way the rankings I look at this moment of time, obviously, a couple of weeks' time, Volkanovski's fighting Zombie for the belt. I'm guessing if Volkanovski comes through that, they'll want to make the Holloway fight again. Looks like Ortega will be fighting Yair Rodriguez anyway. So it's probably the only fight to make, him or Josh Emmett, either or, as a fight for Arnold Allen at this moment in time. And to be honest, you could possibly look at that being a number one contenders fight, especially if I can't see Yair or Ortega fighting for it anytime soon. I don't imagine they've got to get a couple of wins at least under their belt before they'd even consider putting either of them into the title fight. So for me, he literally could be looking at a number one contenders fight next time around.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think he'll be ready for it, and I think he might... Is he a problem for somebody like Volk? You never know. That's a problem. You just never know. Oh, man. That was so good.
Sensational, mate. Absolutely sensational.
Paddy the Baddy. Fucking Marmite the boy.
Look,
I think either love him or you hate him.
I love him. Right, I do love him. I can't deny it. I love the bravado and stuff like that. It's brilliant to watch and it's good to see, right? But he is going to get his fucking heat taken off one of these days.
It didn't look as bad Saturday.
Still got caught in about four seconds.
I know. But I don't think it seemed as bad as it was against Vendramini. But yeah, everyone's talked about it. Everyone, every podcast, every analyst, every fan that you talk to says the same thing about Paddy. He has that chin. He's so hittable, mate. He's so hittable. And that's the thing that he has to fix if he wants to be, you know, he has all the tools, you know, other than maybe striking defence to be a top level guy. His grappling's insane. His grappling defence is insane. His striking is very good. It's just his striking defence. It's just that chin, that guard, having his guard up, and you know his defence is just not as good as what I would expect for somebody on his level. But you can coach that. You know, that's the thing. He's 27. So I mean, he's still coachable. He'll learn it. He'll have to if he wants that belt. If he wants to win that UFC belt. Guys at the top of that division will piece him up. You imagine Dustin Poirier fighting him. Poirier would break his face in half. So, Gaethje, another one. You know, absolute guys, killer boxers. So, he needs to fix it if he wants to. He's definitely got all the tools. He's got the look. He's got the bravado. He's got the patter. You know, he had everybody singing with him on Saturday. It was insane, mate. It was utterly insane. An insane performance, an insane reaction from the whole crowd, insane reaction from him. I mean, fucking Molly was in the cage after it. It was just, when, as you said to me, you turned around to me after and said, when have you ever seen a fighter who was fighting previously on the same card in the octagon celebrating with another guy? Plus the fact she was sitting cage side with Dana watching the fight is just nuts to me, mate. It's an attitude thing, mate. It's just a passion for what they do. I don't know if you, I mean, we'll talk about Molly after, but this is kind of Paddy related, but as soon as she went down the tunnel, the first thing she started shouting was, where's Patrick? You know, where's Patrick? Do you know what I mean? Because she obviously wanted to celebrate with her boy. So, I love him, but I do, I'm kind of love hate with him. I'm not a massive fan of the big bravado, like loud noise, like striker. I was never, you know, a massive McGregor fan, but there's something likeable about him. And if he can stop the being hittable thing or lower it, mate, the sky's the limit for the boy, I'm telling you.
I think a good thing about Paddy is he's not pure. He's not really vile towards any other fighters as such. You know, if he's sometimes McGregor, some of the shit he says about other people and stuff like that is just fucking needs for that. But it's Paddy's just pure bravado. It's all about him. It's all about kind of the ego side of things and stuff like that. And when he does it the way he does it, it's just superb, man. The entrance is, I love the entrance as well. That was fucking absolutely bouncing when he came in. That's my only disappointment. The entrance was, I felt like the walk on was too short. Definitely walked like 10 metres basically to get from the locker room to the cage. Imagine he'd done that, but he's better just getting him to circle the whole octagon and then fucking come back in. Mm-hmm. Get him there, full circle with the entrance music because it'd been fucking amazing. It was so good. Then obviously he goes in there and you've seen the switch, to be fair. Obviously he was a bit mental. He came in a cage and then he's jumping about and stuff like that and trying to rile everybody up and trying to get everybody kind of moving with him. But you seen the switch? The switch obviously just at 1 second just turned and he just caught eyes with Vargas and he just fucking was looking at him the whole time. Bruce Buffer was doing his announcements and all that and you could see, which is a good thing, that you go to that wee switch that you can just turn it. Just turn it and that's it. Boom. Right, I'm in fight mode. That's me 100%. But again, he started a wee bit slow. He got caught early on, he got taken down, and then, or he kind of fell down, and then he missed his takedown and stuff like that. But then eventually, obviously, he got that wonderful judo fucking throw over the leg, which was absolutely superb. And then he went on from there and just fucking. Vargas, as soon as he got. I was like, has Vargas actually watched any Cage Warrior stuff? Does anyone realise what fucking Paddy is? Like, why the fuck are you giving me your back, you fucking stupid?
I think Vargas was probably just there to get paid, mate, to be honest.
I can't. But then he trains with Moreno and Moreno being there and stuff like that. That's no. Brendan Moreno was obviously in the crowd, and I don't see him just getting it to get paid. I think that's just a case of for something, he done something absolutely stupid. He gave Paddy's back, and Paddy just is far too good on the ground to give your back to. And it was superb, mate. It was a great finish, but he got to get quicker. He's got to start quicker and make sure he doesn't get caught.
Yeah.
That's now two fights in a row where he's been caught kind of earlier in the fight, and don't get it wrong, he's come back to win it. He's come back to win it in sensational fashion, but yeah. Well, he was brilliant at the end as well. I loved his interview. You go to love his interview. He's fucking brilliant to listen to, let's be honest. He's just absolutely superb, man.
Yes.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant for the UK. I mean, we'll get more fights here. We'll get more pay-per-views here because of somebody like Paddy, which is never a bad thing.
He's marketable, isn't he? So
massively, mate. I feel like Facebook and fucking Instagram are being stupid not having him on fucking... Surely it must be. Aye. He must make them money. Like, why the fuck is he...
I banned for them all.
Oh, fucking ridiculous. Anyway.
Yeah. One of the greatest knockouts you will ever see. Never mind in women's MMA, never mind in the weight class, never mind by a British fighter. You will ever see. It was almost like, okay, it wasn't as surprising as Rodriguez's against Zombie because that came out of fucking nowhere. Like, but this was just, I feel as if this podcast this week's fucking pointless because we've got no words about any of it, to be honest.
We're just a big gap there, right? We're going to talk about more than we can. Big gap for 10 minutes.
It wasn't even about, like, okay, the KO was what everybody's talking about, but see her performance up until that point, man. She smothered Carolina. Carolina did not have a chance, man. Molly was an animal. Like, honestly, an absolute animal in there. She swarmed Carolina. She wouldn't leave her be. She should have had her maybe out earlier. It was just, I thought Molly was amazing. Like, take away the KO. KO was, you know, one of these single hits that you hit once in a lifetime, and it was unbelievable. And fucking gear 10, 50 G's, man, she deserves it. But even up to that point, her performance was tremendous. Best I've seen her.
100% agree with you. It was definitely the best performance we've seen from Molly McCann in the UFC, without doubt. The way she came out absolutely flying, man. I think she threw something like 60 or 70 significant strikes in that first round or something like that. Absolutely pummeled the lassie. Nearly had out there in the first minute as well, do you know what I mean? She connected with a couple of lines early on. She could have had out there in the first minute, but don't get me wrong, she slowed down slightly in the second round. Wasn't quite as ferocious as it was in the first round. She had a couple of takedowns as well, which were fucking mental, man. The one where she basically flipped her over her fucking back when landing on there and towards the end of the round, and then that was just brilliant, mate. Done a wee bit of celebration at the crowd at the end of it as well. It was absolutely fucking superb. And then to go and to get that finish was just out of this world, man. It was just, and obviously she said at the end of the fight as well, it's something they'd worked on, it's something they'd trained on. It's maybe something they knew that the way obviously Carolina is a Muay Thai expert, she wants to grasp, she wants to get hardy, she wants to hit you in knees and elbows and stuff like that. That if you can just all of a sudden just get clear of that grasp before and just possibly put that wee spinning elbow out there, you never fucking know. And look, she'd done it with absolute fucking, oh, unbelievable. I'm struggling to think of a better knock. I've never seen a better knockout live. That's a totally different thing. Not seen a better knockout live. That was fucking unbelievable. Sensational.
I mean, in terms of knockout of the year, I mean, I can't think of any better. Maybe Hills against Walker, maybe.
Maybe, aye.
But that was maybe more about the way that Walker fell. But, oh, mate, absolutely savage.
Mate, it was unbelievable. It was absolutely unbelievable for Molly. As you say, best performance. She just puts on a show as well, mate. And everything about Molly's just absolutely fucking brilliant. And it's superb to see, mate. Honestly, I'm so happy for her. I watched a wee BT video as well. See a wee BT film that was produced and stuff like it released last Tuesday or something like that on the BT Sport, on the BT Sport page, and that was fucking superb, mate. Honestly, I really enjoyed that. And I think I had a wee bit of kind of emotional tie. I was like, fucking yes. I was happier for Molly than I probably was for most of the fighters on that card Saturday night, just because of how fucking insane it was.
Yeah. From one crazy knockout to another, Ilia Topuria.
But he was getting his arse handed to him for the first round.
Yes, yes. I know.
Jai put in a fucking sensational first round. It was absolutely superb against, let's be honest, an exceptional fucking fighter. He's a superb to put fighter to put here. Obviously, this was his first fight with 155, and you can see the height difference. Obviously, Herbert was fucking huge compared to him, but honestly, I thought Herbert was superb first round, absolutely sensational. But when you've got someone who is as good as Ilia Topuria is and is sensational in every way, shape, or form, that combination for that knockout was just absolutely fucking brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. That was absolutely unbelievable knockout. And the way the way Herbert basically spun round, because landing in his back, he literally spun round for the knockout. There was that much power and that much force behind it that it basically turned his full body 180 to land in his back, mate. It was just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable knockout, mate.
It was a savage right hook, mate. It was absolutely sensational. But as you say, Jai, I think there's a lot of positives there for Jai. I think Jai was quite good first round. And I think Topuria always has that power, though. But Topuria's got that power in his arm. So I'm a wee bit gutty for Jai. I was big in Topuria in this fight, big, because I love Topuria. I think he's superb. A wee bit gutted for Jai. I thought he looked really, really good. And you never ever want to see a fight go like that if a guy's having a good day, but you know, it is what it is. It was just the performance in the end of the day. But savage from Topuria, man. That combination was amazing. There was a body shot. The body shot brought the hands down, and then the right hook, man, just fucking smashed him. It was amazing.
It was, mate. It was unbelievable. Absolutely fucking unbelievable. Brilliant, man, honestly.
Right. Prelims. Where do you want to start?
I kind of want to start with Makhachev.
Cool. What a way to open a card.
Mate, what a fucking... This is just... What a debut. It was absolutely amazing. Again, the technical aspect of how good it was technically is just so good. To do that kind of thing inside a minute and get him fucking out of there was just absolutely brilliant.
He's going to be a problem, mate. He is a problem for that division. He is tremendously good. He's so fast. His hands are like bombs as well. And then obviously he's grappling and his takedown. It's just amazing, mate.
Yes. He's outstanding, as you said. He's basically everything, to be honest. He's got absolutely fucking everything. And he can be a superstar in so many countries and so many parts of this world. And I think that's another massive factor behind how successful he could be as well. Because he got a bit of leaning toward basically a lot of parts of the world. It'll be amazing to watch this journey, see how far it goes. And I can't fucking wait to watch it because the kid is fucking unbelievable. And that's what he is. He's fucking a kid. He's 21 years of age. He's a fucking child. He's a baby, basically, in this sport. And he's fucking sensational already. We obviously know he's 22 wins at fucking amateur level. And now he's went in and now sick. Because I know as a professional, mate, it's just doesn't know how to be beaten, and he could fucking continue like that for a long, long time to come.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, mate. Totally agree. Absolutely crazy. Great way to start the show. Great way. I now know totally why they put him on first. You know, he's a new thing. He's exciting. People know about him. You know, there is a wee bit of hype behind him. You know, I think everybody wanted to get in and see him, and he absolutely justified it 100%. And his partner was brilliant, man. I was really surprised. I know he's been here a long time, I'm not saying because maybe his English is a wee bit broken, you know, but he's bang on. His patter was fucking bright, man. I love the boy, I think he's superb. Watching some of his IMAF stuff, he's just different class. He's going to be a massive, massive problem for that, for the Flies, mate, honestly. Relentless comes to mind. He's 21, as you say.
It wouldn't surprise me if he gets a ranked fighter next, by the way.
Mate, I wouldn't surprise me either. He's... Aye. He's got to,
He's got that buzz about him. He's got that bit of hype, and he's got that. And people want to watch him. People want to see him and get him a ranked fighter. Would be a sensational thing for him, and a sensational thing, I think, for the UFC to do to push him forward. Because I think this kid will get pushed. This kid will get pushed fucking hard. I'm not going to say it's Chimaev vibes, but he's got that kind of thing about him. Do you know what I mean? He's got that kind of.
It does.
I've just got a feeling he's going to get pushed hard. He's going to get pushed fucking quickly.
Yeah.
And at that weight class, it's not exactly deep. I think, in fact, I was looking already, and we used to apologize quite a lot for a lot of our information. They've kind of got their own rankings of basically all the flyweights in the world, and they've got sitting just outside the top 20 already.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the top.
I don't get it wrong.
You look at the top, like, or sorry, the 15 outside the top 10 in the UFC, and there isn't an awful lot there, do you know? I don't see them. I mean, I like Manal Cap, you know, Manal Cap, the boy from Portugal, right? I quite like him, but I reckon Makhachev would rip him apart. So,
I'd like to know what to do with him. I don't even understand what to do. So,
nah.
Unbelievable, mate. Absolutely unbelievable.
Kind of special mention for a very gutted Corey McKenna.
Extremely gutted, mate. Like, for somebody to think you won that fight 30-27, and for two other judges to think you lost it 29-28, is mental in itself. For me, I had 29-28 McKenna. I thought she'd done enough. I think first round and third round, is that right? Did we say we gave her the second? We gave at least Reed the second.
Yeah.
Thought maybe Corey done enough first and third round just to get the win. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't a robbery in any way, man. It wasn't as if he got that, fuck's sake, man. She was far the better fighter. It was close. It was a close fight. Weirdly to say it, but the scores probably show that, and the fact that one judge did go 30-27 and another two were 29-28, so it shows you how close the fight kind of was, weirdly.
Yeah.
I got it for Corey because as I said, I probably had her winning the fight, but look, she's going to take lessons for that and learn from it, because I think at least Reed's striking at some points were absolutely superb, and she struggled with that. She did struggle with that at times, and she's got to maybe go away and work on her kind of striking defence and stuff like that, and make changes after that, and hopefully come back bigger and better next time around.
She's got a chin, that's for sure.
Mate, she can take a punch, I'll give her that 100%, she can take a punch.
I guess only got a couple left, I suppose. Jack Shore, Timur Valiyev, pretty decent performance for me.
Yeah, it was good for Jack. The only thing he was missing was a finish, mate, honestly. There's a couple of times I thought he was going to get him out of there. I think he kind of maybe held back too much at one point. I think he rocked Valiyev once or twice within fucking seconds, and I thought, fuck, go and get him, and he kind of held back. You thought, I'll just be patient. But I think at that point, you know, we gave Valiyev a wee bit too much time to kind of recover. And I think that kind of stopped him getting the finish. But don't get me wrong, it was a brilliant performance for Jack Shaw. I was really, really impressed with him. I think I possibly gave him all three rounds. I don't think Valiyev really done a lot of damage to Shaw, to be honest. But he was superb, really, from start to finish. He must have had a couple of wee lackluster moments that we've obviously thought that they've thought Valiyev maybe deserved a round in there, but I'm surprised, to be honest.
Yeah. I'm a bit gutted for Jack because I actually thought this was probably, you know, we like a performance tonight where it's an actual performance. I thought he was absolutely fucking superb, mate. But every other Brit that won smashed fuck out their opponent, and he kind of has been, you know, kind of left. Not left behind, that's not what I mean, because obviously got a win and it's obviously massive for him, but I feel like everything else is pure overshadowed how good a performance that was from Jack Shore. People, like, Valiant was a real threat to Jack, like a real genuine threat, and Jack Shore just kind of swatted him aside. I didn't at any point in that fight feel that Jack Shore was in any danger or Valiant was going to do any real, have any real success. I thought Jack Shore had control of it everywhere it went. Okay, the leg kicks were nasty, but Jack never showed any sort of, you know, effect or anything. He just kind of kept going and going and going. I thought Jack Shaw was absolutely superb. Really good, really did.
Yeah, I was very, very impressed with him. As I said, literally, I think what was missing was that finish, and that's all we needed to see, to be honest, for me. We've seen that finish, and I'd have made it even better. But again, spoke about possibly Markayev getting a ranked fight. I think Jack Shore could be the exact same. I think he'd be looking at a ranked fighter next.
Yeah, I totally agree. He's won 5 in a row in the UFC, which is ridiculous. People are talking about Paddy, you know, being 27 and having loads of time. Jack Shore's 27, never been defeated. He's also fought 5 times in the UFC. He's got to be fighting ranked next, mate. If he's not fighting a ranked fighter, I just think
that he... I'd be pretty pissed off if you don't get a ranked fighter
I would be, mate. 5 wins in the UFC, you know, since September 2019. I think that's pretty good fucking going, mate. That's like, what, that's 2.5 years? Inside 2.5 years, you've had 5 wins.
There's a few legends in the rankings as well coming off.
What are you saying?
There's a few legends that both of the rankings coming off our recent losses as well. So there's a big name to pick up there.
There absolutely is, mate. There's plenty of guys at the bottom. We'll talk about Moraes, although we reckon Moraes might get cut. You've got, you know, a Sunshine and a set of fight like a Sunshine would be a great fight for him. Even Ricky Simone.
Imagine a Frank Edgar fight. How fucking good would Frank Edgar be?
Frank Edgar would actually give him some different looks and stuff like that. So, yeah, maybe, but... I look forward to seeing what's next for Jack, because I actually think Jack ahead a lot of these guys on this card, maybe except Tom and Arnold, but he's ahead of Topuria, he's ahead of McCann, he's ahead of Paddy, he's ahead of all these guys on this card, but yet nobody's really talking about him, as I said, because everything's been overshadowed by how good the rest of the card was. So I feel a bit gutted for Jack, but yeah, going forward, Jack, sure, man, one to watch for sure. Valiev was a difficult piece of the puzzle, and he basically just swatted it away and went, right, next, come on.
100%, mate, 100%.
Right. Now, can we talk about one of the worst fight IQ decisions I've ever seen in my whole entire life? Not only once, but twice, Krylov went into Paul Craig's guard. Now, I like Krylov. So wasn't a difficult one for me to choose who was going to win, because obviously I'm going to stick with Paul Craig. Paul's a legend. But I'm a fan of Krylov. I love watching Krylov. He's good style. He's got a good mix of stuff. And he's a smart fighter, and I think that's the thing that annoys me the most about this, from his point of view. Obviously from Paul Craig's point of view, and from my point of view, a great, brilliant way to win. But utter stupidity, mate. Like, utter stupidity.
I can only think it's just pure ego. He's obviously thought, I can work through that. I won't get caught. I can just ground and pound him and won't even give him the opportunity to grab an arm or grab his neck, whatever like that. But this is Paul Craig, man. This is a guy who... I'm talking to think of any people that are better off or back than fucking Paul Craig, to be honest. He's just sensational. It's unbelievable what this guy somehow pulls out time and time again. That's what's so good about it. It's not just that he's done it once or twice. He's done it a good few times, I think. Was it 8 finishes or something like that? Was it 8 finishes in the UFC or something like that?
Who, something. Paul? He's got 8 finishes in the UFC.
Mental, mate. I think it's like he's on a list for fucking the amount of finishes for a light heavyweight division. It's just absolutely mental. You do not give him the opportunity to grab an arm or grab anything, because he will fucking literally, as he likes to say, tap, snap, or nap. That's what you're fucking going to do against him. Mate, Paul Craig is, for the first bit, 3.5 minutes, don't get me wrong, Krylov fucking got him down. He was fucking swinging away. I was petrified at one point when I was going to connect and just fucking knock him out. There was a couple that connected. I went, shit, is he away? Is he gone? Is he fucking sleeping there? Then all of a sudden, boom, something happened. They kind of, obviously kind of got on with the fight and you realised he wasn't. But, wow, like, it's just pure shit. Like, Paul Craig went on his back happily and with Wall just going, yes, please take me down. Please. Yeah. And it just fucking, as you said, stupidity for Nikita Krylov to decide that was his way to victory. I have no doubt that Nikita Krylov could have probably stood there and fucking outpointed Paul Craig just in and out with kickboxing, because he's a very good kickboxer, Paul Nikita Krylov. And Paul, he's getting better with striking, but that's not his game. That's not what he's best at. So that was such a disappointing thing for, from Krylov's point of view. But for us, fuck it. Paul Craig is the fucking man. I want to see him fight Anthony Smith. I'm 100% on that fucking train. Get it fucking made and get it done ASAP. So if this man's wanting to retire in fucking November, he's only got fucking 7 months to win a title.
Yeah, no, I agree. Make a fight. Make a Smith fight. Make it in, he said Glasgow, but I'm not sure we'll get Glasgow this year. I think we'll get another UK card, maybe two. Make it in the UK. See if Anthony fancies it. Liverpool, Manchester, wherever it's going to be, let's fucking make it. Make a fight. Let's do it, man. Glasgow would be insane, but anywhere in the UK, let's get it made. And yeah, looking forward to it, man. Paul Craig, fucking legend. Snap, as you say, tap, nap, or snap. That's it. And well, Big Nikita tapped like a man, we're going to say it.
Light heavyweight champion by the year. Fuck it, I'm going for it. Fuck Ankara. If he's beat him already once, he'll beat him again.
Fuck Ankara.
Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable fight.
I'm not really sure what else to say, man. I still kind of got over Saturday. Overall, I mean, 9 bonuses. Everybody who got a finish basically got a bonus. It's mental, mate. The whole, it's mental, absolutely mental. It's game engine. It felt afterwards, like when you're there, it was special. The special atmosphere, it was unreal. But now looking back, it feels like something major happened on Saturday night. And it's weird because it's not something I can put my finger on and say, oh, this happened. I think it's just a feeling that it was a major event and it's changed the course of, I don't know what, mate. I don't really know what I'm trying to say.
It changed a lot of things, mate. I think there's a lot of fighters on that card on Saturday night who will fight for titles. There's a lot of fighters who will bring more MMA events to the UK, which I think is massive. I think Dana's reaction to everything regarding, he got covered in pints, but he wasn't getting a fuck because he was just having a fucking whale at a time and he was an absolute ball. He's basically turning around and saying, fuck the schedule, we'll get back here before the end of this year. There's no fucking doubt about that. Basically talking about how half the winners on this card will go and fight and the next UK card, whenever that will be, and then he'll put the other half on the Abu Dhabi card. I think Dana got a bit of an eye-opening on Saturday night to understand how incredible the crowds are over here. How good a show the fighters are putting on, the technical ability that the fighters have currently got at this moment in time. Because it's not just that they won, and they won with maybe sheer grit and determination. The most of them won by absolute quality. The quality of the fights and the quality of the finishes that they got was fucking sensational. It was such a high level. We're going to get a pay-per-view in this country, without doubt. Well, not by this year, maybe early on next year. I don't know, but within the next year or so, we'll probably get a pay-per-view card within this country, even if the next one's a fight night. We'll definitely get another one back. It was such a good card that possibly even he's thinking maybe bringing more events to the UK, which would be sensational. We've got 3, 4, 5 arenas that you could happily bring.
Aye.
Events over here. There's no doubt. You've got the Hydro in Glasgow. You've got, well, it's not the MEN arena anymore, but whatever it is in Manchester, the O2 in London, big arena in Birmingham. But you've also got the one in Liverpool. Like, the one in Liverpool's not massive, but it's still a decent size for a fight night card. Fuck, you go to stadiums, do you know what I mean? Imagine fucking a pay-per-view at maybe Millennium Stadium or something like that. Do you know what I mean? How fucking, it's a covered arena. It'd be fucking insane, man. It'd be absolutely insane. And I think it massively changed things for the UK MMA scene going forward. I think we'll definitely get more events. I think they'll maybe look to put 2, 3, 4 events on a year now, from now on, because of just how good this was.
They have to. They absolutely have to. As I said, it's left a statement, mate. It's left a mark. It's the whole thing. The crowd were great. You know, okay, I'm not a fan of the throwing the beer, but hey, listen, I get it at the end. You know, it was a bit manic, and it was manic finishes. You get excited. I mean, we get hit a couple of times and stuff like that, but it was, oh, mate, it's definitely
you look at what the gate made and stuff like that, was it 4.5 million? Four and a half million. Do you know what I mean? That is just unbelievable.
It's crazy, mate.
I'm just observing how many quick look just to see what was stinging there. Like the last pay per view made $6.5 million. Pay per view made $6.5 million. To make that on a, there you go, UFC 271, the gate was $4.3 million in Houston, Texas, and they made $4.5 million. Like, as much as we don't want to talk about money, when you're making that kind of money off something, it'll drag the UFC back here.
Course,
you can make that kind of money off a fight night, mate. That is just sensational.
Dana sees the pound signs, mate, and rightly so. Do you know what I mean? Mate, amazing. Card of the year. It's going to take a lot to top that. It's going to take a lot to top that, honestly.
I think it'll just take a lot to top it for us in general. I think, like, when we get to the end of the year and we'll do it with a card of the year, I think. Was it obviously a few years back we were at Copenhagen, and even though the Copenhagen card wasn't exceptional, for us, it was card of the year because it was exceptional on night and everything they went with it and the atmosphere and stuff like that. But there is no chance, I think, that London will be beaten this year unless somehow we have another incredible event elsewhere. But yeah, chances of that happening are slim because a lot of these countries aren't letting the UFC in yet. So,
yeah.
Fucking amazing, mate. Amazing. Absolutely fucking amazing. Every single second of it.
Amazing. All right.
That sheep was actually shite. I hate to see something that fucking shitty wee sheep, but apart from that, it was brilliant.
Oh, fuck, I wonder how long it would be till you mentioned that, you money bastard.
I'm a big guy, I need a bit of fucking comfort and have a go at it, but anyway, it didn't matter. Then fighting made up for it.
Okay, moving on. We're going to do a little bit on Cage Warriors. We probably would have covered this more. Two reasons. One, London was incredible, taking up too much time. And two, the main fight between Hughes and Vucenic got cancelled last minute, which made it a hell of a lot more spicy. No disrespect to James Hendon, but it was an interim title holder versus an actual title holder. It was spicy, it was tasty. So I think we'll maybe just quickly run through this. I have seen very little of this, to be honest. I've seen Vucenic's finish. He climbed him like a fucking tree.
I mean, it was brilliant, wasn't it? It was absolutely superb, man. It'll be interesting to see where Vucenic goes for here, but I wonder if they'll maybe try and remake a fight or maybe we'll get signed eventually. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Vucenic.
Yeah. Well, they're talking about, like, I think there's a lot of talk about him signing UFC, but I think he might want to fight Hughes. I think he'll want to put that exclamation mark on that, mate, to be honest.
I hope he does. It'd be good to see, man. I know everybody wants to get to the UFC as quickly as physically possible, but when you've got a fight as big as that and make sure that he fucking gets Paul Hughes out of the way 100%, fucking do that and just get it done and that's that.
I think the split decision in the first fight has had a lot of people doubting it because it was close. It was a close fight. I don't think it was a split decision personally, but I think there's a lot of people who maybe doubt it. So I think it would be good for him to go and smash Hughes and then move on, if I'm honest. That's my opinion anyway.
Definitely. I would agree with you. I think he's going to get that fight done and get it made and get it out the road, basically, and get on with it. And then hopefully maybe then he'll maybe go and sign with the UFC or something like that. And that's what he's got to do.
I would think so. Anything else on this card you want to specifically mention? What did you
just
see?
About the three finishes. Will Curry, George Hardwick, and Tobias Harrier, man. The finishes are fucking superb. I love Harrier. I don't know what it is about him, but he's just fucking brilliant to watch. Everything about him. If you walk in and stuff like that, and he's got that mental look in your eyes that you wouldn't want to mess with him. Whereas George Hardwick looks like a normal dude that you just wouldn't say hello to. Or you just, hey, mate, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He doesn't look like a fighter, whereas Tobias Harrier is fucking mental.
I know why you like Tobias Harila.
Why?
Because he's Swedish.
Maybe for you. Doesn't it bother me? He could be fucking... He could be a Uzbekistani for me, but I just like that wee bit of...
That wee bit of
bravado, I suppose you could say. He's a wee bit kind of mental.
There's some theatre there, you know? There is.
Definitely, mate.
Right, let's move on. One championship. Now, it's not very often we talk about it because it doesn't happen very often. But this is a bit special this weekend. If you don't know about Demetrius Johnson, his upcoming fight with Rod Tang, I think you might be watching the wrong sport or watching the wrong channels or whatever. Everyone's talking about it, and rightly so. 4 minutes of 3-minute rounds, I think that's right.
4 3-minute rounds, yeah.
Yeah, two Muay Thai, two MMA. Muay Thai first, then MMA, then Muay Thai, then MMA. Rod Tang's obviously a pretty bad Muay Thai fighter. Pretty badass Muay Thai fighter. He is something else. So this is like a cross code, that's what you call it. Couldn't think of a word there.
I was thinking there was a word there for it, but I don't know what it was.
I was going to say cross promotion. I went, no, it's not cross promotion. They both fight for one. Cross code fight between DJ and Rod Tang. I cannot actually wait for this. And it'll be on Friday afternoon. So this will be getting watched.
I'm going to try and catch this one myself, definitely live, because I think it could be a special, special fight, this one, my man.
There's some names on this. Like this card's bizarre, man. It's like so good. So even if you don't know, if you don't like watching kickboxing and things like that, there is some names to look out for. So the kickboxing, Nicky Holzkin's fighting, who's like a world champion, class fighter.
You've
got John Wayne Parr fighting, which is also mental. He's fighting Edward Foliang. Edward Foliang was a guy who nearly snapped Eddie Alvarez in half. With that knee kick, to the knee, remember, took Eddie Alvarez like straight off his feet. You've also got Shinya Aoki, who's like a legend. I mean, he's 47-9, which is disgusting. And then you've got Reiner de Ridder, the double champ in one championship, who called out.
I was going to say, you've probably missed an amazing fight there in the grappling match between the two. That would be amazing to watch in the first place.
That'll be class. Andre Galval was an absolute badass grappler, and Derrida's showing that he's pretty good. He just wants to test his grappling. He just wants to show off, man. I love Derrida, so really good. And there's two title fights as well. You've got Adriano Moraes defending his belt against Yuya Wakamatsu. And, fucking hell, man, I feel like this is never ending. Me and Mark talked this up for weeks and weeks, a couple of months ago. The strawweight, no, it's not straw, it's atom, is it not?
They're atom, aye.
So it's atom weight. Grand Prix was won by Stamp Fairtex. We talked about it for a few weeks. And she's found they're going to try and unify the belts.
Unify.
Angela Lee, who's a defending champ, fighting Stamp Fairtex. That'll be an amazing fight, by the way. If you catch only one thing of this, I would recommend that. That'll be absolutely amazing. These two lassies are proper top of their game. Probably the two best atom weights on the planet. And going to go at it for that belt, which will be class.
It's a sensational night, man. The two title fights are absolutely superb. And that special rules match as well. And then you've got the likes of the Ridder and stuff like that on it. It's just legends on it fucking everywhere, mate. It's unbelievable, to be honest. It's an unbelievable card. So I can't wait. I definitely need to try and sit on Friday afternoon and try and watch this, because it's just sensational, mate. An absolute sensational card of fighting, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on. UFC Fight Night Blaydes versus Dawkus, UFC Fight Night 205, and UFC on ESPN Plus 63. Headlined by Curtis Blaydes versus Chris Dawkus, replacing the original headliner of Jan Blachowicz versus Alexander Rakic, which is a much more exciting fight. Not that I'm not buzzing for Blaydes Dawkus, could be decent. But Rakic Blachowicz could be. Yeah, could be. Also, Watterson Rebus. Was that on this? Watterson's injured.
I got taken off a couple of weeks back because Watterson had to pull out his injury.
So we lost that as well. So, listen, it's actually a good card. There's some good stuff on it. Scottish interest on it, which is good for us. Joanne Wood, Jojo is fighting. There's plenty. I mean, Matt Brown, Brian Barbary. These are two old guys who are just going to be loving shit at each other, man. Like, Barbarina doesn't do anything but wars. Win or lose, Barbarina just does wars. Askarov.
Such good stuff with him. Askarov, Kaikara France is fucking exceptional. That's arguably a number one contenders fight as well.
That could arguably be the headliner for this card, by the way.
Yeah, possibly. Because that is a number one contenders fight and definitely could be a headliner. But obviously, being flyweights, you don't get the fucking headline fights very often. That doesn't happen, if ever.
No.
So
This is good. This one's Magny Griffin's a great fight. Diachikaze versus Borshev is a great fight. The Kicking King, Chris Gutierrez, is on this.
That's a tough fight against Bacquiao Dana as well, man. That's a tremendous little fight. That's an absolute superb little fight, man. I look forward to watching. Even Dvorak Nikolov's a decent fight as well, mate. I'm even looking forward to Jeff Amaya versus Manon Fiorot just to see how good Fiorot actually is. Obviously, Maya's quite highly ranked as well, so.
You love Manon Fiorot, man. You've been.
I just want to see him case it. I want to see this, make sure the two of them go very much as high as they can. Get that number one contenders fight, basically, to see who faces Jeff at some point. That's what I'm just I'm waiting for, the two of them. So. And Paul, there's one fight on this card that I've never actually thought in my life I would. I don't think there's a fight I've wanted to see less in my life than these two fucking pensioners going head to head. I'm sorry, Alexei Oleinik versus Ilir Latifi.
Latifi's not that old.
Okay.
He's 38, so I'll take it back.
Right, so there we go. Right, so I'm not interested in this fight in any way, shape, or form. But knowing me, now that I've said that, this will either be exceptional. Latifi is going to fucking take Oleinik's head off with some sort of fucking bomb from next week. Or Oleinik's going to pull some sort of fucking scarf chokehold out of the fucking bag. If he can wrap his arms around fucking Ilir Latifi's fucking tree trunk neck and do something about it. So, no doubt, we will get something special from that fight because I have totally fucking ruined it.
Yeah, I don't know if that fight may get pulled.
Why?
I just read something on Oleinik's Wikipedia page, and I will read it word for word, and you can decide for yourself, right? He is a naturalized Russian citizen and expressed support towards Russia following its 2014 military intervention in Ukraine. He wore a T-shirt with Putin's face as a result and was denied entry into Ukraine. That statement hasn't aged well.
No, that's not looking good, my man. That's not looking good. But I think he trains in America, does he not? Is he not based in America?
He lives in Florida. He's been in Florida for 6 years, so he may be all right.
I think he'll be fine, my man.
Yeah. All righty. Right. It's your turn, my man. It's time for the news.
Not a lot this week. Not a lot at all, my man. I was struggling to get anything. Well, we've got a couple of things, very, very low-key. Biggest one has got to be the fact that we've got the Abu Dhabi card in October, UFC 281, which seems absolutely fucking mental to say. It's been promised to be a blockbuster, so it'll be interesting to see who headlines that card come October. I was trying to think about this and who's kind of fighting for belts, kind of probably May, June, maybe you've got a chance of getting them on it. So maybe something. If it's got to be massive, it could be massive. Maybe Volkanovski Holloway, something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Got some Australians over, I don't know. But, that'll be interesting to see who fucking ends up in that, if you're calling it blockbuster. A couple of quick fight announcements, very, very small. Brendan Allen, obviously, had a great one a couple of weeks back. I think Jacob McCoon, which will be decent. And Dricus du Plessis will now face Fluffy Hernandez.
I know, I've seen that. A better fight than he was fighting originally.
Yeah, I was thinking that. That's got to be exceptional, man. That's got to be absolutely superb. I've not seen Fluffy since he produced that absolutely sensational submission win over one of the greatest fighters ever in Rodolfo Vieira. So, that should be an absolute fucking belter fight. I know what the last thing is, we've got some releases for the UFC. Nothing too exciting. Jared Gooden's gone, Davy Ramos, I believe he actually asked to get released through his contract. So he got released and he's away elsewhere. Also Sabina Matzo, who got bumped a couple of weeks back, she's gone as well. And obviously the biggest name, not the biggest fighter or the best fighter on the fucking list, was Greg fucking Hardy. Cheerio. Yeah. Bye bye.
Talked about that last week, didn't we?
No surprise there, but so they're all away. So, but apart from that, mate, that's literally it. There wasn't a lot to think of at all. I think there was only one more thing was that the Rose Namajunas Carlos Barza will probably happen at UFC 274. That's, I think, I've seen that. So that'll be the May 7th. Apparently, that'll be co-main. So at the moment, you're looking at it and you're going Charles Oliveira, Gaethje, main headliner, Nama Yunus, Esparza, co-main, Chandler Ferguson, Cerrone, Liu Long, and Shogun versus OSP on the main card. That's kind of how it's looking at the moment. So
there's some good stuff on that and there's some shite. So,
mate, there's some old fighters on that. It's weird, mate. It's just a weird, weird card, honestly. It's a weird, weird card. But anyway, we'll look forward to UFC 274 when it runs around.
Yeah. Alrighty. One last thing before we go. His name is Dricus du Plessis.
What did I say?
Du Plessis.
I don't give a fuck.
Hey guys, thank you as always for your time. We do appreciate it. For get us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter @InsideCageMMA. And yeah, have a good one. We'll catch you next time.